Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. This is a, as always, it's a privilege. And I realize that, you know, we certainly don't have the corner on parenting. We've made a ton of mistakes. And I believe that there are, you know, parents here who could do as good or better job in teaching a class like this. But I just feel honored to be up here and be able to do this. But I want to start off in Hebrews chapter 11, chapter 11, verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. So it says Noah here, he was warned by God. God gave him a little warning. And because of his fear of God, because he had a holy fear of God, it says he built an ark. And he built it, there could have been a lot of reasons to build an ark, he built it to save his family. You know, we have been, we've been warned by God. God has warned us in the scriptures of the world that we live in. We've been warned about where our children, where our families will go if we don't live by the Word of God. If you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 9, it's very clear. The warning is there. You can bank on it. But it says Noah, and notice here, it didn't say Mrs. Noah, right? It said Noah. And we live in a culture and a society today where the men are really not leading. In fact, I was reading an article today, and it divided all the countries of the world into two groups. Those who believe that the husband needs to lead the family, and those who believe that the woman needs to lead the family. And it just kind of went down in the percentage. The side where the male, the husband, needs to lead the family, the United States was not even on it. It went down to 42%. The United States was not even on it. And on the female, or the wife, leading the family, the United States was first on the top of the list. That's where our society is. Men are not leading spiritually. Men aren't leading in every aspect of the family. But that's how God designed it. So it said Noah warned, and he built this ark. You know, and all of us are building an ark.
Yep.
All of you, all of us, are building arks. We are building homes, and hopefully we're building environments where our kids can get nourished and grow up spiritually.
Yeah. Amen.
But we're all building something. You have been, and you will continue to build something. And it's either going to be a place where your kids can grow up and become godly kids, or it's going to be a place where they're going to find that the world is better. And they're going to be more comfortable with the world. But you are building. And hopefully it's the first. Hopefully we're building something that our kids can get nourished and grow up and get saved.
Amen. Yeah.
Right? Because that's why Noah built the ark, was to save his family. That's why we're here tonight to build the ark, to save our family.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, the challenge to being parents today is keeping the family sacred. There are so many things tugging at us for our time, for our energy, for our attention. You know, there's jobs. You know, there's school. There's the daily chores. There's cleaning. There's a ton of things that are pulling for our time and our attention. And it's challenging to balance all those things, right?
Yes.
You ever feel like that?
Yes.
It's just like challenging.
Yes. Yes.
What do I do next? What do I do with this hour? What do I do this morning? You know, it's challenging.
Yeah.
And it takes, to keep the family sacred, it takes a lot of commitment. It takes total commitment. It takes total sacrifice. It takes hard work. And it takes the fear of God. It takes the fear of God. You know, in Jeremiah class on Sunday, we talked about the fear of God. I really wonder, and I totally believe that we as disciples do not fear God the way the Bible teaches. I think if we had the fear of God, it would make our choices and our decisions would be a lot clearer. And we'd be doing things that that normally we wouldn't do if we feared God. We wouldn't be doing some things that, you know, we're doing if we feared God. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you can ask yourself, how quickly, when you're challenged by a brother or sister, or you're challenged by the Word of God, how quickly do you change? I mean, that's a good indication of whether we fear God. Is it, well, when I get around to it. You know, some of you are going to take some things away from this class tonight. Your fear of God will determine how quickly things change.
Right.
Right? What's your attitude towards commitment? How do you view obedience? You know, is obedience to some things good and other things optional? Are you serving God with all your heart? Can you say tonight that I'm serving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do you have idols in your life? Are there some things that you're holding on to that you shouldn't be holding on to? Well, how do I know if I have idols? What do you think about during the day? What do you work towards? What's your goals?
Come on, bro.
Idols. See, these are all indications of our fear of God. Now, why are we discussing our fear of God in a parenting class? Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Man.
Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 1. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. You know, we're not just talking here about one generation, right? We're talking about future generations. You're raising your kids, hopefully, with the fear of God and the laws of God, so that when they grow up and they have kids, they'll be able to teach their kids. You know, I'm sure you've heard this before, we are one generation. We are one generation away from apostasy in this church. And the future of this church is going to be the disciples that we're making, but the future of this church is going to be the kids that we're raising.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you look at the ICOC, and over the years, the church, and how many leaders have come, not from, you know, a lot of them have come from the world, but a lot of them have come from the traditional church. They were raised in quote unquote Christian homes, and they knew the laws of God. They were taught the laws of God. They were brought into a discipling movement. They were taught, some of them were converted, and they were taught about the Word of God. And because of their knowledge, and they were taught by their parents to love God as much as they knew how, they were raised in leadership.
Come on.
Your kids are crucial for the continuation of the church.
Yeah.
My kids are.
Yes.
Our kids are. So we're talking about generations. Not only you, but your children and their children. Fear the Lord. And it says, enjoy long life. Now, I know that all of us want to enjoy life, right?
Yeah.
We want to enjoy life. Right? I'll tell you what, your family isn't right. Things aren't going well in your family, it's not enjoyable. In fact, a lot of parents in the world are so unhappy with where their family's at that they've just given up parenting.
Wow. Yeah.
They've just given it up. They've said, hey, just do what you let the kids do what they're going to do. People have thrown up their arms saying, I don't know what to do. Hopefully they'll end up all right.
Wow.
I've heard that before. Hopefully they'll end up all right. That can't be our attitude.
No.
It's got to be, not hopefully, but hopeful expectation, we expect them to end up well. We expect them to become disciples, become Christians. If we fear God, our families are going to be sacred. We will honor our families as God honors His family. Malachi in chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession."
Yeah.
See, that's how God feels about family. Treasured possession. Our families need to be made priorities. They need to be held in the highest regard as treasured possessions. And they need to be protected from the world. Amen?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about three areas tonight. Three areas of having a sacred family. Number one is sacred goals in parenting. Look over in Matthew chapter 22.
Come on.
I thought through a lot of stuff. We talked about a lot of stuff. Hopefully this will all come to mind. There is there's so much. Matthew 22, verse 34. Hearing that, Jesus had silenced the Sadducees. The Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Sacred goals for our family. Goal number one, to love God. That's the goal of raising our kids, is to love God. When our kids were, when they were starting to be getting that teenage years, people would come up to them in the congregation and said, "So, are you thinking about becoming disciples? Or are you thinking about getting baptized?" And it got to a point where it really, really bothered them. It was like, man, I wish people would just lay off. But sometimes that's our thinking. We want our kids to be disciples. We want them to get baptized. That's not the way we need to think about our kids. If your kids love God,
yeah,
they'll become disciples.
Yeah.
If your kids love God, they'll be baptized.
Yeah.
That's the thinking you've got to have, is how can I get my kids to love the Lord?
Amen.
To love and fear the Lord. See, you're not just talking about an outward thing here. You're talking about an inward thing. Helping them to love God. What you're doing is you're teaching the kids, your kids, the heart of God. You're trying to instill the heart of God in your kids.
Yeah.
You don't want to teach them a bunch of do's and don'ts. You want to teach them, what's God's heart like? I remember when, so often we had our times in the evening and before the kids went to bed, and we talked about what God loves. God loves to see people come to Him. God loves everybody. God loves people. And we'd get out a globe and we'd pray for all the nations around the world. We'd get out an atlas and we'd learn about all the nations around the world. And then we'd pray for them. Pray that God would send somebody to that country.
And
would help those people. We were teaching our kids about the heart of God. You want to say anything, huh?
Yeah.
Please.
So, you know, one thing I remember well is this, and this is so, in a sense, easy for people, is just to be yourself. You know, if you're reading your Bible and you're being inspired by what you read, and you look, you know, you're meditating and you're thinking about God and you love God, then probably in life there are situations where you get impacted and you think, wow, I wonder how God would feel about that. Or I wonder, you know, just like the sky right there right now.
Wow.
You know, God painted that and it's beautiful. You know, sometimes over the lake, it's gorgeous. And, you know, you, as a disciple, might look at something, it makes you think of God. Then say it out loud. Make your kid look at that and think about that. Just stop and think. And do that all the time. Don't nag them, but basically just share your heart.
Yeah.
That's all. Walk through life and point things out and help them to understand God. You know, God is a great creator. God is an artist. God loves people and all kinds of people. And you'll see all kinds of people in life. You know, there's just so many things about God, so many things, that all we need to do is say what we think and tell what we see and open our children's eyes to what we have already found and not be quiet. And then they'll start to see life differently.
Yeah.
And they'll start to know God for who He is and not for who, I don't know, what their friend's mother told them.
Right.
Yep.
You know, whatever that would be. You know, I would prefer to tell my children who God is and teach them what I've learned.
Yes.
And, you know, it was it took a class like this to help us to learn how to do that. I mean, we used to go camping all the time and hiking and, you know, we'd go out, we'd come back and, you know, all right, let's load the car up and we're out of here. But, you know, after a class like this, then we learned, you know, that's what we're trying to do is communicate that to our kids. So after that, it was like we'd take a hike up a mountain. We'd get to, I remember one mountain in the Adirondacks. We all hiked up. We looked over the beautiful Adirondack Mountains. It's just gorgeous. And we all prayed together. Because we talked about, you know, what God had done and how He created everything and, you know, the kids got, and they were so, you know, it just added a whole new dimension to our times together as a family. It was like,
amen.
You know, they loved it. But it's teaching about God's heart. And then the other goal is loving others. And, that's training their heart. I mean, with loving God, you're teaching God's heart. With loving others, you're training their heart. And you're teaching the kids to respect. There was one time when, you know, we had a babysitter and our kids somehow they tied up the babysitter. I mean, they tied him up.
And taped him.
I don't know how it happened, but I mean, and this guy was, I think he was pretty upset about it.
I don't know.
I mean, you know, it was embarrassing, you know, but it was.
I got over it.
I mean, it was disrespectful. And so we had to teach, we did a lot of teaching on respect. And when we had babysitters over, we demanded the same respect to the babysitters that they had for us.
Yes.
And if I came home and there was, after that situation, if I came home and there had been problems, they would get the same punishment as though they had done it to me. Same went with teachers. If I heard there were problems at school, and there was disrespect at school, they would get the same punishment as though they were doing it to me. And they didn't. That was not a fun time. They knew what was coming. So, teaching respect, teaching how to serve. When people would come into our home, it's like, grab their coat. Can I get you something to drink? It's teaching those things.
Yeah.
Those are things that are taught. Just honesty and humility and openness. Those things are all taught. Kids just don't naturally, they're not naturally open. You teach them how to be open.
That's right.
You teach them how to get advice. You teach them how to be humble. It's teaching. It's from the Word of God. It's getting input from other people. Right?
Yes.
It's training their hearts.
Along with the loving other people, something we chose to teach our kids very purposefully was to be friendly. And when we moved one time in the past, well, Brittany was 3, Joel was 5, when we moved from Chicago to Syracuse to plant the church there, they were the only 2 kids in the whole church. And we didn't know what that would be like to move to a place where they would have no friends. But we worked very hard at teaching them to be friendly. And I remember Joel was in kindergarten. We decided to go ahead and move at a time when he would have 1 month of kindergarten. And that was for the purpose of being able to make friends so he'd have someone to play with over the summer. And we worked very, very hard on them having a lot of friends and having kids over to our home and getting to know them, those parents and things. But anyways, Joel got the most friendly kid award in kindergarten. And, we made a big, big deal about that because that was being a new kindergartner to, in a class of strangers having no friends in that town and missing his buddies, that he grew up with here. And so we made a really big deal out of that. And we worked hard at continuing to teach them how to be out of themselves and to give and to be friendly. And on our way to church, we would always, have that time as quiet in the car so we could talk about that. When they got to church, that was their job, to look at people in the eye and to be friendly and kind. And we took every opportunity we could to teach them to be outgoing.
Yep. Yeah.
Amen.
the rolling of the eyes was not that was not allowed in our house, and that got some major punishment. There was no rolling of the eyes, and I would tell them over and over and over, when you talk to me, you look me straight in the eye. When you talk to your teacher, I want you to look straight in the eye. These are things that we sometimes take for granted, but you've got to teach your kid.
Come on.
Right? Number 2, sacred relationships.
Come on, bro.
And I'm just going to go through these real quick. Number 1, sacred relationship is our relationship with God, our personal walk with God. It's got to be a great walk. It's got to be, there's got to be discipling. It's got to be humble. It's got to be evangelistic. It's got to have confession in it.
Come on.
I mean, all those things in our relationship with God, we've got to have those. And we've got to be open with those with our kids. Why? Because that's how they're going to learn. They're going to learn how to be humble.
Yeah.
They're going to learn how to confess sin. They're going to learn how to have a great walk with God when we're open with our walk with
that's
God.
Right.
You're not having a walk with God, then you can't be open about it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I said to Joel today, we were talking today, and I said, he asked me something about my class, and I said, man, I'm having so much fun with Jeremiah, and I'm learning so much. I love the Word.
Come on.
And he said, I know you do. it's inspiring for him.
Come on.
And that's how we're going to inspire our kids to love God and love the Word, is by loving the Word ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Having that great walk with God. Yep.
With the relationship with God, I think about when, I'll never forget, Brittany must have been like a preteen. We're standing in the kitchen talking about, probably making dinner, you know, that time of day. And she comes home from school and we're talking and there's all the drama and, you know, listening to whatever in those preteen years. But anyways, I remember just listening and listening and then responding by telling her some sin in my life and how I could relate to her. I'll never forget, she just smiled, and it made her feel so good to hear the awful things in my life. And that was such a good lesson for me. It came out naturally because we're just talking, but I didn't realize how valuable that was in communicating with her, my ups and downs, and being real and just telling her life like it is so that we could relate better.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, the another sacred relationship is obviously between husband and wife.
Come on.
You know, that's so important. The kids, our children get so much security when they see mom and dad doing well. And there's so much insecurity when they see mom and dad not doing well.
Yeah.
I mean, there is nothing that will cause your kids more insecurity than when mom and dad are not doing well together. And they see it, they know it, they can sense it. You don't have to say a word. They know what's going on. They know, you know, they know by the looks. They know by the cold shoulder. They know. I mean, you say more by not saying anything than you do by saying everything. I mean, it's just obvious. And a great marriage is so important. And again, it's a marriage that's open, that is getting discipling, is changing. They've got to see your marriage changing.
Come on.
And they've got to see you excited about having that relationship and that marriage. And because again, they're learning about, they're taking this all in, and they're learning about, well, what's my marriage going to be like?
Yeah.
What, you know, what's it mean to have a godly husband or a godly wife?
Come on,
that's what they're looking at. So that's something we've got to really work on. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. The thing with conflict in our marriage, or you might say sin on both of our parts, the way that we interact with each other, you know, even I think it was maybe on Mother's Day or when our family spent time together, there was an interaction between Joel and Brittany. And she was acting like how I act in a bad way with Roger. And I forgot what it was, but Joel was trying to confront her and she was bucking it. And, you know, finally I had to just stop and I apologized. And I said, you know what? And I confronted her sin and then said, I think you learned that from me. That's what I've done. And it was really sad, but true. And the thing is, when there's conflict in our marriage, we just have to own it, you know, own the sin and apologize. But it just kills you what it does to your kids.
Yep.
The way that it makes them insecure. The truth is, you know, you can have a conflict at the dinner table and put your kids to bed that night. And if you get to talk that night, they might tell you, well, I'm afraid you're going to get a divorce. And you might think, oh my goodness, that is so not true. Well, they don't know that. They don't know that. What about all their friends?
Yep.
They know all the stories of what it's like.
Yep.
And so that's their greatest fear.
Yep.
And I remember that happening. And you just can't take things back once they're out.
Yep.
And the kids remember those things. They remember our sin, and it puts an awful fear in them. But the best thing we can do is confront it, apologize, And I know our kids were very happy when we had discipling times with people. And they knew we were going to talk about these things. Or we would even say, you know, we're so sorry. You know, this is terrible. Yep. We are going to talk to the brooms about this. Just that would comfort them to know that, you know, this is not going to stay like this. We're going to go get help. But they were very happy that we would get discipled because they knew what we were getting discipled about. In fact, sometimes we would tell them, you know, we really need to get with somebody about our marriage. But we just said it like that because the truth is they know it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't new to tell them that.
Yep.
And I would even, you know, a lot of times I would go to Joel after a situation and say, well, I talked to this guy down in New York City, and this was the advice he gave me. It was awesome. You know, and so we're going to put that into practice. We're going to work on, you know, and again, it really helps them, number one, to feel secure in the family, but number two, it helps them to learn what it means to be disciple.
Yep.
And, you know, and I'll never forget Joel, you know, Joel blew it one time. And, you know, I said, I need to talk to you about this. And he said, well, no, I'm going to talk to Andrew about it. I'll confess my sin to Andrew. I'll get help from Andrew. Andrew Smelly, you know. So I want to get advice from Andrew. I want to get advice from Raneel, you know. And I was like, amen. You know, get advice from them. And you don't need to get advice only from me. Get advice from... So it's teaching them how to do that, teaching them what to do. And then the third sacred relationship in parenting is with our kids, obviously. And again, what you're trying to do is you're trying to develop open communication. And you're trying to encourage them. Encourage, encourage, encourage. You can't encourage your kids enough. And we had a sheet at home we found about like 50 ways to encourage your kids, 50 ways to praise your kids. You cannot praise your kids enough. You can't encourage them enough. Your relationship with them, you know, so often we are stuck in this critical mindset.
Come on.
And we're looking at all the little critical things that we can find, and we're forgetting the great things that they're doing. And you can always find something to encourage. Always.
Amen.
There's always a bright side. Yeah. You can always encourage. So you're developing communication. You're encouraging. You're serving your kids.
Amen. Come on.
You know, you're being servants. That's what we are as parents. We're servants of God. We're serving our kids, and you know, we're respecting them. You know, I'll Brittany and I, when Britt was in her early teens, there were some times when we really went head to head. And I mean, her emotions would just flare up, and then my emotions would flare up, and they were short conversations. And I really got so upset with her attitude and with the things that she was saying. And it really took Kama to help me to understand that what I was seeing was the tip of the iceberg.
Come on.
Right? You know an iceberg?
Oh yeah, come on.
Floating in the ocean. How much of the iceberg do you see above water? Maybe 10%.
Right.
What's underwater? 90%. And see, what I was doing was reacting to that 10%. I was looking at the 10% and I was saying, that won't be, we're not going to have that in our household. I won't have that attitude in our household. But I was forgetting to dig and find out what was causing that attitude. What was going on underneath the water? Deep waters, our kids are deep waters.
Yeah.
And we've got to have the patience and take the time to find out what's in there.
Wow.
What's going on in there. And it happened over at Janet's place. Finally, it got through my head over at Janet's place. Brittany had this friend, what was her
Jim
name?
Hall.
Jen Hall. Jen Hall. Yeah. And there was some. She was over at Jen Hall's place, and there was some stuff going on. And I saw it, and I was like, "Man, this has got to come to a halt." So I pulled her out of the apartment, and we stood on the on this back porch for about, I think it was at least an hour, maybe more, talking. And I remember thinking, all right, what would Kama tell me here? Okay, I need to shut up and just listen. Probe. Probe. Right? Hour and a half later, it was like we were totally united.
Come on.
She saw what I was saying. I saw what she was saying. It was really a breakthrough in our relationship. But it takes time. It takes a lot of patience. It takes just trying to understand and help them. Draw them out. Draw those deep waters out. Don't settle for the 10% above the water. Draw the deep waters out. Ask the questions. Do you want to say anything there?
Yep. Just real quick, because I know we're running out of time. In the sense of these relationships with our kids, all I can say is, you know, if you don't feel good about your relationship with one of your kids, get advice on it. Because I had a hard time connecting with Joel. I remember one time taking him out to a restaurant for lunch. And as soon as he was done eating, which was pretty quick, he was ready to go. And I thought I brought you here to talk. But that didn't work for Joel. But I remember one time, I played, PlayStation, whatever, a basketball game, and he kept letting, I guess he did bad on purpose, so that, and he helped me to do good, but it was to make the game go longer, because he enjoyed that. Well, I can't stand that stuff. But, I'm not good at it, I don't like it, but you know what? That's what worked for him. Then I figured out going out on the driveway and shooting baskets. That worked for him. But you know, I did not connect with Joel like I could connect with Brittany. That was so easy, like the back of my hand. But Joel, that just is a whole different ball game for me. That I don't know that I could even give you really great advice on that. That is not my strong point. But get advice, because we have to do it. We just have to.
Yep.
So just try everything.
Okay, I want to just talk for a couple minutes here about sacred times. We've talked about sacred goals, sacred relationships, sacred times in parenting. Number one, the dinner table, right? The dinner table is absolutely important. No TV, the dinner table. You know, mano y mano, one-on-one, two-on-two, you know, we're just talking. How was your day? What was the high point of your day? What was the low point of your day? What did you learn in the scriptures today? I mean, you're talking at the dinner table. You're not watching TV. I learned this growing up. I mean, every night our family got together, we had dinner. No excuses. Number two, bedtime. Talk. Read, pray. We prayed every night with our kids. We started praying together, all four of us, and then they got to an age where they wanted to split up, and then, you know, we'd kind of split it. I'd pray with Brittany one night, Joel the other night, Cam, you know, vice versa. But amen. Prayed every night with the kids. Getting the kids ready for school. That was a time to connect with them before they leave. So you need to have that time and make that time. Don't be flying around yourself, but really be focused on them. They're getting ready to go into the world. You've got to be able to help them get prepared for that. Family nights and devotionals. Teach, you're training, you're inspiring. 45 minutes devotionals. Here's a good little pattern. 10 to 20 minutes of singing. Lesson. Discussion. Role play. Prayer. Very simple. Right? family nights, devotionals. The car. You know, the car is a great place to connect with your kids. Every time when on our way to church, we would talk to the kids about, okay, now what are we going to do in class today? How are you going to do in Bible class today?
Come on.
You know, what happened last week? We're not going to have that this week. Amen? Yeah, you know. You're talking. You're not plugging them into a DVD. They're not playing games, but you're talking. And on long trips, play some games. Play some games. Now, you know, we didn't have the DVDs when our kids were that age. Don't let them get locked in. You know, I cannot stand when I'm down on the train or I can't stand it when people are plugged into their iPods and you can't talk to them. You can't focus. You can't communicate because they are so into the... That's how our kids are sometimes. Is they're so focused on games or they're so focused on DVD that they're oblivious to everything going on around them. The car is such an important part. And then dates.
Yep.
Having dates and times with your kids, separate.
Yep.
You know, once a week, trying to get that time with Joel, trying to get that time with Brittany.
Yeah.
We still have those times. It's not every week, but we still have times where I'll take Brittany out to breakfast and we'll have great conversations. Cam will take Joel out to dinner or something. Great conversations. Those are so important.
Yes.
Amen, bro.
Got to ask yourself, what are you discipling your kids to be? You know, all these things we talked about, they're just training issues. And they're teaching kids, you know, how to love God, how to love people, how to have great relationships in the family, and just having great times together, building memories together.
Amen.
Is what you're doing.